Knowledge is dangerous. Many, an authority, certainly authoritarian figure, fears knowledge. And one might think that for subjects of Hashem, innocence, an innocence coupled with ignorance, might be the safer position. And lahavdol fafi avdolish, there are some religious faiths which glorify ignorance. And you're holier, the more ignorant, the more innocent you are. Know what you have, but don't know too much, it's just a safer path. That's, of course, the utter antithesis of Yiddishkeit, where our deepest and most intimate medium of tzveikus is through understanding and depth of knowledge and intellectualism, working with a fundamental trust Hashem has, that when he endows us with more understanding and overall with more capabilities, we will marshal that the right way. There's a fundamental trust here in our fidelity to him when he grants us knowledge, creativity, and so on. This is a fundamental idea, this fidelity, or this trust which he has in our fidelity to him in making, in empowering us rather than making sniveling, robotic soldiers, is fundamental to the whole Mishkan endeavor, and as we will see, the entire structure of our Parsha Vayakol Pekudei. Because of course the Mishkan was a epic of creativity, craftsmanship, creativity to the greatest degree. And the Torah here uses the word chachma so many times to describe Bezalel and crew. Many, 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 many times. This is the epic story of chachma. The triumvirate of chachma bina das is used in these parshas. All the intellectual capabilities appear in this parsha, these parshas specifically. And actually, Chazal derived in the Gemara Brachos Nun Hei the entire notion of how to acquire chachma from this parsha. Ein nos ben chachma, el vishyesh lo chachma. Hashem will only imbue chachma in those who have a certain predisposition towards knowledge. Chazal derived it from the pasuk in this week's in these parashiyas, ubelev kol chacham lev nasati chacham. You're a chacham lev, I give you chacham. So this is the story of human chachma, the glory of human creativity, craftsmanship, all in the service of Hashem, and that the knowledge does not drive us away, but quite the contrary. And all the more powerful from this perspective, the meta theme of Parshas Pekudei in particular, we've studied many times that when you want to trace a Parsha theme, you look for the phrase which keeps popping up and appearing again and again, flickering lights, like flickering flies in a garden. It's like all over the place in the Parsha. That is certainly the Kasher Tziva Hashem Osam in Parshas Pekudei. It was done exactly as Hashem commanded. Parshas Pekudei, let's understand, is dealing with the finishing stages of Mishkan. After the crafting of the Mishkan proper in Parshas Vayakel, Parshas Pekudei then discusses the way that the Gadim of the Kohen were crafted and the final stages, the uniforms of those who are Oved, and then the actual Hakamas HaMishkan. And in that context, this is about 18, 19 times, because I've seen Vashem Osam again and again and again. It's telling us that in the end, as much as this was a creative endeavor, and you might think that in a creative endeavor, we lose ourselves, we become lost in the mission, right? No. All of this intellectualism, all of this creativity, all of this craftsmanship and human empowerment was totally Kasher Tziva Hashem Osam. And the sensitivity to that phrase, Kasher Tziva Hashem Osam, we're primed to it based on a broader textual pattern. Because the crafting of Begadim, coupled with the actual Hakamas HaMishkan, which happens in Parshas Pekudei, was dictated by Hashem in which parasha? Both of those features, the crafting of the Gadim and the actual Hakamas HaMishkan, both appear in Parshas Tetzaveh, right? Which then is going to echo somewhat, as we've studied in the past, the Parshas Tzav, when the Hakamas HaMishkan is enduring. Right, so that term tzivoi describing the finishing touches, these precise finishing touches, the begadim and Hakamas HaMishkan, appear in divine mandate in Parshas Tetzaveh, right? And here in actuality, in Parshas Pekudei, the crafting of the begadim and Hakamas HaMishkan with the word kasher tziva, Hashem, right, your sensitive ears pick up on that textual echo. It's a story how in the end, in the final stages, it's all alpi. Tzivoy, and I'm going to suggest specifically in the final stages, in Parshas Vayakel, when they are in the early stages of the Mishkan, when the Torah describes with great specificity the way they craft the menorah and the yerios and so forth, the yerios doesn't say kasher tziva Hashem Osa. You notice that? It's only in the finishing stages, right? It's only the sister parasha to Tetzaveh where it says kasher tziva Hashem Osa. It's only the begadim and the finishing stages where it says kasher tziva Hashem Osa. Why? Because I'm going to suggest that even the notion of fulfilling a divine mission does not mean you fulfill it like a robot. There's a fundamental misunderstanding people have of kasher tziva Hashem Osa. They all quote a bar from the Beis Halevi, really, you know, human creativity is very, very dangerous. That's where we want wrong in the ego. Hence, the kapara, being HaMishkan, was kasher tziva Hashem Osa. Most people understand that Beis Halevi to be saying, right? Be I don't think that's what the Beis Halevi means. Be a robot. Don't be too creative in Yiddishkeit, right? Now, I think that's a horrible evil. No. Let's understand something here. The Mishkan was not given over in a stickler, absolute fashion, right? The Ketavnas Asher Ani Maharos HaBahar was a general picture, which lent itself to all sorts of creativity therein, right? And of course, in the early stages of a creative endeavor, your focus can't be on stickler. If your focus is on stickler from the get-go of the project, you're not gonna go anywhere. Right, you need in a project which is empowering you with creativity within the greater framework of a tzivah, right? So in the opening stages, right, it doesn't focus on the stickler aspect. It focuses on the great creativity. Talks of Parshas Vayakel, the beginning of the project, all about the great Chachmas Lev and the passion of the Nasam Rucham, right? The Nasam Libam. It's in Parshas Pekudei, the final stage. In the end, the God and the actual Hakamah, but you see, in the end, it's just like Hashem commanded. When there's the healthy marriage of fidelity to divine imperative and human creativity and finding a personal vision for the project, in the end, it's all kasher tziva Hashem Osa. And that is the greater cleavage, the greater connection between Parshas Vayakel and Pekudei, respectively. Human creativity of Vayakel, but yet in the end, Parshas Pekudei, it's all kasher tziva Hashem Osa. And there's really a splendid textual pattern to back this up. The notion that Parshas Vayakel's creativity, right, is so clearly releasing the leash. Of course, we're ultimately on a leash, you might say, right? Vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? You need to give some freedom. You need to release that leash a little bit, right? Perhaps we could find a better metaphor than leash. You got my point, right? Release the hold a little bit, right? You give to people who are dedicated, a colleague who is dedicated, you give them freedom, you give them space. Within that basic assumption of fidelity, they'll do a great job, and then you'll see at the end it's a viable job. So what is my textual pattern to back that up? Listen with your sensitive ears. How does Parshas Vayakal begin? What is a repetitive phrase in the beginning of Parshas Vayakal? Right in the beginning of Parshas Vayakal, Paraklamet Hei Pasuk Dal. Vayamer Moshe Kol Das Bnei Yisrael Zeh Hadover Asher Tziva Hashem Leimar. And then again, I should really say earlier. I apologize. Paraklamet Hei Pasuk Al from the get go in the parsha. Vayakal Moshe Kol Das Bnei Yisrael Vayamer Leim Eila Hadvar Asher Tziva Hashem. And then again here in Pasuk Dal. Parshas Vayakal does begin twice over with this is what Hashem commanded, right? And then arguably even a third time, when B'nai, there's an echo here, when B'nai Yisrael donate too much, and it says in Paraklam and Vav, Pasuk Vav, by Yitzav Moshe, Moshe commanded and he said enough, right? That term, Tzivoy, which we might not have appreciated without having traced the pattern thus far, we're beginning to pick up as a very evocative phrase, tzivoy. Parshas Vayakal begins with tzivoy, because of course the original model is all. It's a divine model. It's a tzivoy from the divine. Right? But then Parshas Vayakal, the actual crafting of Mishkan, that term tzivoy falls by the wayside. Right? That term that could have easily appeared as the crafting the Mishkan, the Menorah, that term which is going to dot Parshas Pekud to the end of the project. And began Parshas Vayakal, right? So to speak, falls by the wayside. Right? Hashem is, so to speak, loosening the hold, as I put it. Good, allowing this creativity space, because we're dedicated. You're dedicated, and then you see at the end, there's a healthy marriage. The term Tzivoy, which began the Vayakal Pekudei project, then appears at the end. In a sense, this is the healthy relationship between delegator and delegating, right? Where it's not tyrant and subject, right? But rather healthy, healthy relationship when it's relational. The mission giver and the one who's fulfilling the mission, it's a loving relationship, right? So he's giving up a mission on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part. He's giving us space to fulfill the mission, and then you see at the end, the creativity is melding in a very healthy way with the fulfilling of mission, and that notion of mission, and there can be healthy mission fulfillment along with creativity, I'm going to argue, goes to the very word Pekudei itself. Pekudei, which perhaps on a very simplistic level, many of us translate as counting, because in fact, the medals Moshe Rabbeinu counted in a accounting, bookkeeping endeavor, as Chazal say, but to me it seems that the broader meaning of the term Parshas Pekudei is in Russian Pekida, Vayafkid HaMelech Pekida, delegating, right? Because most of the Parsha does not deal with Moshe counting the medals. That's only the first little shtickle, the first little narrative. Most of it deals with the, right? How each of the begotten was made Kasher Tziva Hashem Osam, and the greater Mishnah was Kasher Tziva Hashem Osam, i.e. the delegator was underscoring, you see, you did the mission. The delegatee did the mission as the delegator said, right? And parenthetically, I'll note my greater read of Eila Pekudei, that it means Eila Pekudei HaMishkan, means these are the, this is the delegating of tasks in Mishkan that we have fidelity in a mission we're given, right? It's borne out from the end of the opening pasuk in the parsha, Eila Pekudei HaMishkan, where it speaks about, right? Avodas Halvim Biyadi Samar Ben Aaron HaKohen, that Isamar was the delegator, right, the mission giver to all the Levi. You see, it's, the usage of the term is not counting per se, right, but it's on a broader level, the notion of delegators and the notion that there could be authority figures who are delegating tasks, but everyone's coming together in a fruitful way, right? Because creativity is being melded with fidelity here. And I want to elaborate upon my basic assertion here that Parshas Vayakal Pekudei really represents a larger ideal of Yiddishkeit, of the role of creativity along with fidelity. That we are mechadash, we have self-expression in Yiddishkeit, and all within the confines of halacha and ritzonius baruch, advancing Ritzoni to a greater extent than if it would be a robotic, stodgy, wooden leg sort of thing. People adulterate and distort that whole very far from the base of it, really in a very, very harmful way. It seems to portray the people that they're supposed to be very, very robotic. And I want to bring that out. I want to bring out my assertion that in the story of the Mishkan, there was creativity to the greatest extent. At the risk of offending others, don't think that the Chachma slave of Bezalel and crew was. They had a totally spelled out mission down to, right? And their whole Chachma was just implementing of tasks. No. The craftsmanship here was broad and involved making unilateral decisions on many levels, right? And it involved metaphysical understanding of the Kalim Tillis, because I'll say Yutei Betzal and Tsar Pohosios, Shinevra Bosh Shemai Barts, Betzal understood the metaphysical underpinnings of this project, and even the physical artistry and craftsmanship was with a real creativity, and I'll prove it to you. We all know the Gemara Brachos Daf Nun Hei highlights how Bezalel told Rosh Hashanah, right? Not very wise, what you're insinuating to me, what you're telling me, to first build, construct the Kalim and then the Mishkan. First construct the Kalim, where am I going to put those Kalim? You first need a Mishkan. And Moshe says, oh, that's really what Hashem said. Bezalel tell Ha'isa, you're in the shade of Hashem, you got exactly what he told you. Some misunderstand that Gemara to be saying Moshe made a mistake. You want to drink Bezalel, and Bezalel pointed out, it can't be Hashem really said, build Kalim and Mishkan, because we're going to put those Kalim. But that's clearly not the Pshat. Chalil would have said Moshe made a mistake when Chazal don't highlight it. Because actually it's explicit in the divine imperative of Mishkan and Truma and Tetzava. He always says Kalim and Mishkan. Tetzava, Truma Tzava. Truma opens with what? It opens with the Aron, right? The Shulchan, the Menorah, and then it speaks of the surrounding curtains and so on and so forth. So what Moshe said was actually literally what Hashem said. I'm going to argue when Bezalel says it can't be that's what Hashem said, because it doesn't make sense. Bezalel wasn't engaged in a creative Torah Shabbat endeavor. He said, although literally that's what Hashem said, Hashem had reason to tell you Moshe in literal form, Caleb. But what he wants in actuality is not to be what he literally told you. And when Moshe Rabbeinu said Bezalel kel ha'isa, he's not saying you're machaven to what Hashem said word by word, but you're machaven to a divine understanding, right? And Bezalel was actually the most intrepid, creative person, not that stodgy person that the foolish interpreters of the Beis Halevi are making him out to be, right? So I would suggest it's Shavreisi. It's Beferish in the Gra. Take a look in the Bra in the Gra. In the Chidush Agad, it's Brachos Daf Nun Hei. It's Beferish. The Gra makes all my points, right? The Gra makes all my points. Zok the Gra. Of course, Hashem told Moshe exactly as Moshe said. Kalim and Mishkan, right? Says the Gra. But Sel Kel Hayisa, the shade of Hashem. Sometimes when Hashem says something, he wants you to actually do it in inverse form, says the Gra, brilliantly. Just as Tzel, literally meaning a shadow is the inverse form from the person or object that the shadow is reflecting. Zok the Gra, many times, something is set in a certain fashion, but the formation, the shadow which emerges, has to be an inverse form. The Gra compares this to when you have a signet, or, right, where the image is the inverse from what's going to come out, right? Sof ma'isa b'machshava t'chila, right? What you want in the end, you think of first, right? So take any project, first apply sof ma'isa b'machshava t'chila. When you think of something big you want, okay? Maybe use a mashal. You think about building a house. And it's a very practical example. You're building a house. Does anyone first thing think about the concrete and the cement and the foundation? Oh, and then as an afterthought, you know, we're gonna have really, really nice dining experiences here. We're gonna gather together as a fit. That's a no, of course. You first think about what? Not the house, the home. You put, right? We're gonna be mishpach and bonds and another spacious facility. You know, together, you concrete, right? All that stuff. Sof ma'isa ma'chshava t'chila. The final ma'isa, which is actually, which is once you have a house, the concrete, the cement, you have all that in place. Now you could put in a table, a tiny little table, and have, right? That's what you were thinking about at the beginning, right? So of course, right, in the same fashion, the sof ma'isa, this is my interpretation of the gra, the Ribbono Shel Olam kiviyachol, to use my family mashal, he's thinking about bonding with HaKadosh, with Klal Yisrael over the avodah they do, right, the Aron and the Menorah and the Shulchan, right? So his original thought process, as he's telling Moshe and Parshas Trumas, he's going to the cave. He's not talking about the structure, that's the place that happens, not just creating the space. The Ribbono Shel Olam about the intimacy, the connectivity, which happens in Aron, where, yeah, and then it'll be a physical space to heaven. Right, but Tzal is saying in the execution, it's going to be the other way around. To have the beautiful, intimate family bonding, which it is, kiviyachol with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishkan, to have that first, you need a space and then a place to put the kippa. Right? Continues the Gra and says, Bitzalo was engaged in an endeavor of Torah Shabbat Peh, the words of the Gra. And the Gra says, in his very Kabbalistic language, this is Bechina of Bina, Bina's Lahavan Davarim Toch Davar, to extrapolate from what you were taught. As much as it says concerning the Tzadol, all three grand terminologies of intellectualism, Chachma, Bina, Das, the Gra seems to be accentuating the term Bina here, right? And then the Gra uses the word Nukba, feminine, this is the feminine endeavor, Bina Yisera Nikla Nashem, in this context we are Hashem's female, right? The feminine role is always to conceive from a masculine seed. We call Yisrael Torah Shabbal Pez, as I would explain. We take the raw material from Hashem, the Torah Shavuot Ksav, and we actualize it through our creativity, and that's why I would suggest the Zohar says, "Kabeinas Avicha Hadohu Torah Shavuot Ksav, Yasimecha Hadohu Torah Shavuot." That Torah Shavuot Ksav is the Av, is the masculine, is the seed, it's the inspiration, straight Pia Gura. Torah Shavuot is the mother, the Nukba role, right? But here it is, it's all about Pesach and the Gura. But Tzal was the greatest revolutionary. I'm not going to call him a radical, the most creative. Torah Shabbat Peddik, a revolutionary, to deviate from Moshe's words. Think about it, the Rebbe. If you don't have a greater Rebbe than that, Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't question, Moshe Rabbeinu said it that way. Just imagine, I'm sitting in, just imagine the Rebbe saying that way, right? And Bezalel said, I have a taina. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, even though that's not literally what Hashem said, you got it. Hashem doesn't want us to be a stodgy people. He wants us to think that way. That's the greatest key of Ritzono. Right, and of course, Moshe, this was no toast on Moshe's part. Moshe is not the executor of the mission. Moshe is in line with the vision. Moshe's kiviyachol in that divine space. Moshe Rabbeinu, his job wasn't to think about practical implementation and a house and where do you put it. That would distort Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu's role. He has to get the divine picture. The sof ma'isa ma'chshav t'chila. He has to convey the project in its authentic vision. We're here to create intimacy with the divine as Hashem wanted. Yeah, then you need a space, but let's not get lost in space and concrete. And yeah, Bitzalel, who's the implementer, right? He deals with such things creatively, in seeming deviation, which is not deviation at all from the original plan, it's greater fulfillment. I believe this is all clear in the Gra when you work through the Gra deeply. I'm gonna argue from this perspective, if Bitzalel is Bitzelka, he's in itself, right? The shadow is not the matter itself, right? My shadow is not me itself. My shadow is tafel to me, secondary to me. The Olam HaMaisa practicality is secondary to vision, but oh boy, it's important. Bitzalel is in the tzel kel. Moshe Rabbeinu is masik the kel itself. And we need the visionary, we need the practical engine, the practical creative implementer. That's Bitzalel. By the way, in a very similar, on a very similar level, on a parallel level, you know, it's this business that the implementation of the mission, the Torah Shabbat Peh, deviates, certainly in the Seder HaDvar, from the original Seder Hashem aligned, and it has to be that way. When Hashem says last, the petty details sometimes have to become first in the implementation. I'll bring out for you one other indicator towards that. I want to ask you a very simple question. In the divine imperative of Mishkan, But Hashem is giving over Kiviyachol his vision of Parshas Truma to Tzavak Yisisa. What is the final dimension of Mishkan Hashem gives? In Truma, he gives all the Kelim and Mishkan. Tzavak, he gives what? The Big Day Kahuna, the Chin of the induction process. Kisisa, he gives everything. With the Maksa Shefel donations, with the Shem HaMishcha, the Torah, the Kiyar, the Khan. What's the final matter Hashem says in Kisisa in the greater Mishkan narrative? Shabbos, don't violate Shabbos. Yet in Vayakel, in an unmistakable, almost dramatic inversion, Vayakel, when Moshe Rabbeinu relates the practical implication of cause, he begins with Shabbos in Vayakel. Right? Keep Shabbos in its place of violence. Why the inversion? Based on what I get off from the Greg, you understand it's Hashet. Don't build the Mishkan on Shabbos. That's not the essence of the Mishkan. That's a scheduling matter. Of course, halacha didn't schedule. It's a sacred scheduling matter, but it's a scheduling matter. Mishkan's great, but don't do it on Shabbos. So, of course, in the on the vision level, on the divine level, it's the last. Right? First, people are emotional. These have this exciting, wonderful project. I'm going to have a Korva and Kirva and a Kali Yisrael and the Jerusalem. And first, in the Kalim, and then the space is going to happen, and then all the trimmings. And then, yeah, there's a schedule. But of course, scheduling has to come first in practical implementation. First, you need to know practically. Don't do it on Shabbos before you get started with this thing. Don't, right? You see, it's very clear. This is the model. And the implementation of Klal Yisrael, the Torah Shebaal Peh, is it's an inverse model, and it requires good judgment on our part to how to transition from the divine kel to the human itself. And I'm going to argue that that term, Bitzelkel, is a very, very powerful term when we deal with the whole subject of human beings and the embrace of human endeavor in fidelity to the divine vision, which I'm suggesting is really the greater theme of Parshas Vayakel today. Right? Because tzel is really the two-letter root of the word tzel. Tzelim elokim. Tzelim is a form. Certainly following many of the didactic, who believe every three-letter shows is a two-letter show is two-letter building blocks. It's clear the word cell is related to the word cell. Cell means a form. Shadow is a very hazy form. Okay, now in a black silhouette, you can make a further cell, right? Right? So this is really the real. The cell kel, that what that really focuses is cellum kel, cellum elkin. And that we human beings, while we are not Hashem, we are the subject. But this is a Bitzalel is embodying for us. We're Bitzalel again. We are like Hashem. And our role is embraced. And certainly up here, behind the Lush, which is Bitzalel again, means Hashem is a creator. We have a deep aspiration to be creative too. Right? Not to be stodgy robots, not to be depleted, right? That whole horrible caricature I was painting of that abusive Mahalakh. Misunderstanding the base, maybe. Right? That's the exact inverse of Bitzalel again. Right? Right, that's being a serf. That's not being a sovereign. That's a serf rather than a sovereign. Someone with kings, I aspire to be a sovereign. Everything sovereign, everything beautiful, loving, gracious, everything which is all getlachkeit, everything which is elevating and ennobling in the human condition. Right? By the way, to have bad midos, to be power-like and to be a balgai, but that is not divine. That's not divine. Right? That's not divine. That's not sovereign. That's right. That's you know when a person has midos dysfunction, right? They're very needy, as we know. They are not sovereign. They are not at all. That's not being sovereign. They're actually really a serf. So you appreciate the pattern cell, but cell and all can, and this is the very model of all creative endeavor, as I would like to elaborate upon a bit further. And we begin to understand why the Torah is so marach in these parshas v'yachal pekudai, on all the intricacies of Binyan HaMishkan. And Mepharshim ask, hey, the Mishkan was intricate enough in Truma Tetzaveh, but the beginning of Kisisa, when Hashem laid out the game plan, right? You have to go through the whole rhyme and rhythm again. They did it this way, that way, the other way. Just have one catch-all pasuk. They did one. Vayasu kasha tziva Hashem osam. Done. Right? By the way, everyone grapples with this question, whether they admit it or not. You know what the greatest proof is? How many people say they struggle being Marvah Sedra, Parshas Vayakel Pekudai? Here we go again, right? And you see even most of the Mepharshim, right? No Rashi on the bottom of the Chumash. It seems like it's same old, and yet this is a Torah's Chaim that I'm supposed to read with vision and passion, right? I'm going to argue the Ribbono-Shel-Olam. In reiterating the whole same thing again, the divine mandate, now fully reiterated again in human implementation, is coming to prop up and elevate. Don't look at the human implementation as, okay, this was one casualty, okay, but then they did it. As though de-emphasizing. And then the proportionality is Hashem's vision, okay, and we're like, you know, little puny little man. Right? And you want to show them this bedakha. You basically equal arichas and bayakob. Right? This is a partnership, a bris, a relationship with reciprocity. And it should be seen that way. We might not be able to keep up with Selokim, but Selokim. And that's why this is the model as I developed from the Gemara and Brachos of all human chachma. It emerges from the story of Bezalel. And all of Torah Shval Paz, I was in Dayak in the Grod, so. And I would like to develop a bit more and really provide more of a more breath. In other words, when you have an idea in Torah, you want breath, you want a sense of it's broad, the picture is big, the picture is all encompassing. You know, as I like to say, what is one of the main indicators of a real breakthrough in Torah versus a good art? Intelligence is not the key. There's many a nice vertela, which has a lot of Yiddish Kishon on it, right? But you know what makes a true Chiddush in Torah, a true breakthrough, rather than a vart? A true breakthrough in Torah is not a freestanding idea. It incorporates within the broader picture of Torah. We're already to that. How a true asak in Torah makes peiros and peiros. When you understand something true, it's not just a intellectual twist. It's part of that greater thread which unfurls in all of its breath. So I want to develop here how understanding Binyan HaMishkan of Klal Yisrael as our opportunity to be Bitzalam Elokim, Bitzalah and Bitzalam Elokim as we're tracing, how that has a bigger, broader, integrative perspective to it. It's not just a random, it happens to be in the context of Mishkan this summer. No, Mishkan is the place. Mishkan is the icon of human creativity. And the embracing of human creativity along with the truth of Kasher Tziva Shavosa. And as we trace here, that healthy balance and yigig. Right? How creativity doesn't mean we're going out on a limb and it's a free-for-all and anything go. No. There's a very clear plan. And there's a very clear framework, and that's halacha, there's a very clear divine will here, but it's a divine will with a breath and a flexibility, right, to allow all sorts of personal expression in it, which is why unidimensional Judaism fails every time, right? And total kima of halacha with total fidelity, along with expansiveness, that makes for a sophisticated Torah, a sophisticated Yiddish Kabbalah, and that's what our parishes are teaching us. So I want to trace this more, why the Mishkan is the model. Our most basic association with the divine, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a creator, as a bodyman, of course. That's what Chaim Bolshim said, but Selim Elokim, our aspiration to be looking is to be creative in our own minds. I'm going to argue the Mishkan epitomizes the human attempt to do a Maaseh Bereishis, to be pile of creation. There are many statements of Chazal which all point to some sort of correlation between what Bezalel was doing on a human level and Bria Sahib. Whether it's the Gemara, which I mentioned before, describing how Bezalel was not only engaged in physical craftsmanship and engineering, but he was involved in understanding the metaphysical structure of the Mishkan of the deepest sodos. In that respect, the Gemara says, Yudei and Bezalel and Sarah Ha'isius, Shabo Nibra Shemai Varetz. He understood the lettering formations of the creation of heaven and earth. Gemar Brachos derives this from the fact that all the terminologies it says about Bezalel, Chachma Bina Das, appear in Sukkot Tanakh regarding creation. Hashem Chachma Yasod Aretz, Bina appears, Das appears, right? And this is, of course, on a Kabbalistic level, this is the Chachma Bina Das of Hashem's the three first midos through which he created the world and continues to direct the world. Bezalel was engaged. Bezalel knew the Hasidus of creation that clearly relates to his task. Many statements of Chazal Echelon in this regard, including the Gemara Megillah, which says, on the day when the Mishkanot was inaugurated, Hashem was as happy as the day of creation. It was a creation take two. This is why Melech HaShabbos are derived from Mishkan, because the entire premise of Melech HaShabbos, which is that human beings are imitating the divine creative process. Hashem created the world in 6 days, rest in the seventh. We engage in equivalent human tasks during the 6 days, and then we rest on the seventh. So, you need as a source, right, a human corollary to divine creation. The source is Mishkan. Mishkan was a human attempt to create the world, in a sense. Why is that? By the way, the basic theme, which I just traced from a few statements of Chazal, there are more, sin creation, in Binyan Mishkan, from the Shabbos corollary to the joy of creation, my brachos to the Yudei Betzal, Tzara Faosius, I later found to the Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim picks up on the general idea that the Mishkan is a second creation. Certainly one way to appreciate this is, and I don't have the time to develop this properly, we discussed the Parsha Strum of the Medrash of Basi Lagani, Paskin Shir Hashem, I've come to my garden, that Hashem created a world which was physically and spiritually beautiful, and the apex of the Bria was the Gan Eden. Man sullied Gan Eden and the greater world, and the Mishkan was a recreation of that idyllic space, and therefore Hashem came to the Mishkan. He said, Basi Lagani, I come back to my garden. This has been my garden all along, right? We've suggested in the past many imageries of Gan Eden and Pre-Chet, therefore in Mishkan, whether the fact that the Atzei sheet of the cedar woods, the Torah stresses it, the Torah, as per the Gemara's interpretation, stresses Atzei sheet of Omdan, the cedar wood had to be standing in the fashion of the cedars, or Kedarach Kedilasa, the way they stand. You want to make out the trees in the Krushim. You want to make out the trees in Gan Eden, whether in the fact that the Kruvim, who are intimately hugging as Ish V'Isha, in a fashion which stigmatizes those who see things through an imperfect vision, right? Post-Charei Tzadas, man sees intimate contact through the prism of Yetzer Hara, right? And that's how we have to cover ourselves, right? This would explain why. And the Gemara says, when the enemy destroyed the Mikdash, and they were exposed to the Kruvim, and they said, oh, this is what is in the Jews' Holy of Holies, right? What inspires us to the deepest degree, that which is most sublime, that is which is most Kaddish, because ultimately that's what Ishus is, right? To those who are perverse, the Becheras Nachash, like the Nachash, right? Who looked askance at Adam and Chava in their intimate contact, right? So therefore, the Umas Ha'olam, they peer in on our crew in our most intimate relationship, Tasha, and they look askance at what to us is the holiest of all holies. This is because the second Gan Eden. It's a second Gan Eden which we are having the chance to rebuild and recreate. We are Hashem created paradise the first time. Now it is our job to create paradise, for Mishkan. But Mishkan refers serving as really an icon in all of our creative endeavors. Chidush Torah, which doesn't only mean academically, Chidush Torah Shvapeh, all expressions of all of our talents that we all bring to the table, we're all trying to make Yisrael, the world, a better place, right? That is all of our greater aspiration, to create a second Gan Eden, to create a paradise. We all, every human being deep down, has an aspiration to create a utopia, right? The Haraya, even those who are most misguided, all have dreams of a utopia. They all use the same word, right? Even those who create the worst atrocities, the Marxists, they all speak about this utopia, and I think they really believe it. They do really believe it. Where does this deep inborn desire to create utopia come from? I believe that is because deep down that is our mission, to create a utopia, to create a Bussy Lagan. But the utopia now has to be created through us. And we only feel fulfilled when we are authentically creating that utopia, because that goes back to our B'Tselem Elokim and the B'Tselem is an Atar Shabbat Panas. And that's what the theme of Vayakra Pekudei is all about. May we all be inspired by the great pneumatic message of Parshas, Parshios, Vayakra Pekudei, to balance fidelity and dipta b'mitzvahs, never deviating the 80 roots on Chalila Chalil Kachacha Sira, with total expression of personal vision and creativity. There is no Sira, there is healthy symbiosis, and Ritzayne will only be fulfilled by those who are expressing the Zech, as we see throughout our parsha, Nisam Libam, Nisam Rucham, not by those who are stodgy, heavy, and so forth. May we all be zeichah to achieve that perfect mix. Amen. Amen.